the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Well, it is that time of the year we start to think about tax planning. There's only about 3 or 4 months left. Now, if you're self-employed or maybe you're an employee of another company, there are a lot of tax benefits to pension plans. And that's the topic of today's interview. Joining me on the program is Lowell Smith. He's Chief Operating Officer and partner of IRA Logix. Lowell, let's talk about some of the things that are available that an individual can do before the end of the year. And I want to talk about two kinds of situations. Let's talk about somebody that's an employee for, let's say, working at a company, and then somebody that is self-employed. But let's begin with the employee first, because a lot of times they don't take advantage of a lot of the tax tools or pension tools that are available to them that give them upfront, or what we call above the line deductions on the front page of their tax return.
Yeah, that's great. A couple of things they might want to consider, and it really depends on your situation, is anybody can make a contribution to an IRA, an individual retirement account. Most individuals think they can only make a contribution if they can deduct that. In some cases, they may be able to deduct that contribution even if they have a retirement plan at work, particularly if they're at a lower income level. So if you're at certain lower income levels, you have the ability to still make a contribution and deduct it even if you have a retirement plan. That depends on each individual, and the tax planner or whoever does that can help them walk through it. Also, TurboTax, if they're doing their own online, actually has tools that will help them ascertain whether they can deduct that or not. The other thing they might want to consider, depending on their income levels, again, is making a Roth contribution. Now, the difference between a regular IRA contribution that we call a traditional and a Roth is the contributions you make into a traditional IRA grow tax deferred. So your earnings and all the earnings in that account will go tax deferred. You may or may not be able to take a deduction on the front end. Again, it depends on your income level and whether you have a retirement plan or not. But with a Roth, if you're eligible to make a Roth contribution, those funds grow tax free. So you will never pay income tax as long as you've left it in there for a certain period of time and have a qualifying event. Typically it's 59 and a half years of age or older, and you start taking money out through our other qualifying events. But those advantages exist because now that money's tax-free.
Let me stop you there for a minute, because I know the government has different guidelines where they phase out the deductibility of contributions or what kind of pension benefits are available to you. Are they different for, let's say, earning limits? Are they different for an IRA versus, let's say, Roth contributions?
Yeah, they are different. Roth contributions have a higher earning limit before you can deduct if you already have a retirement plan. If you don't have a retirement plan at all, you can do a traditional, you can deduct that. So in general, even if your spouse has one, generally you can deduct your contributions to that IRA.
Wouldn't it make sense, Lau, if the phase out of IRA contributions are at a lower level and they're higher for a Roth? So let's take an individual. He makes enough money, or let's say a couple makes enough money. They don't get a deduction for an IRA. Wouldn't they be better off going into a Roth?
I would think they would, because you do get that growth tax-free, not tax-deferred. That's a big difference. And that can make a big difference at the end, especially if you've done it for a long period of time. But it's something, again, you can make these contributions even though we're getting towards the end of the year. They can all be made up to the tax filing deadline for next year. So you can do a contribution before you file your taxes next year into an IRA, either type, and you can attribute those contributions to 2016.
Let's move on next to something that's probably available to most individuals that are working today, whether they're in the private or public sector. If they're in the private sector, they have 401k plans. If they're in the public sector, they may have a 403 or 457 plan. Let's talk about some of the limitations, the limits on those contributions, and also the catch-up provision if you're over age 50, because a lot of times, let's say boomers were raising kids, they didn't contribute fully to their 401k. Now they're age over 50, the kids are out of school, and they can play a catch-up. So let's talk about that and the advantages.
That's a great point to make, especially if you're over 50 and you have the income to put away and you want to start building more income for retirement. That's why they put these catch-up provisions in. Right now, if you're in a 457, 403B plan, 401k, you can put up to $18,000 in tax deferred when you're under 50 years old. Once you're over 50 years old, you can put another $6,000 into that 401k plan or that 403b or that 457 plan. So you can shelter as much as $24,000 if you take advantage of that catch-up provision. And that can make quite a big difference when somebody is building a nest egg for retirement.
So we've got a couple things. We have IRA contributions. We have 401k contributions. We have a Roth contribution. Pretty much that takes care of most, let's say, employees that are working for a company. I want to change course here and talk about there's a plethora of kind of plans available if somebody is self-employed. Let's begin with that. And let's talk about the easiest to implement and to the ones that offer the greatest tax benefits.
There are a list. They can do all kinds of retirement plans. So if you're self-employed, you have the same types of retirement plans available to you as do most corporations, especially corporations under 100 employees. So you have the ability to have 401k plans. You can have defined benefit plans. You can have simple IRA plans. You can have what they call simplified employee pension plans, STEP IRAs, that are all available to you. Now, the easiest one to implement, particularly if you're self-employed, that's go only if you're a one-person company, is the SEP IRA. Very easy to set up that IRA. And then all you do is you make contributions based on your earnings. So it's where you can make up to 25% contributions into that plan based on your earnings at the end of the year. An easy way to do that math, because contributions you make come off earnings. Let's say you made $100,000 this year. You could essentially put $20,000 into that SEP IRA. You essentially take that earnings amount and multiply it by 0.2. A very simple plan to implement. You can open it with any brokerage firm, any advisor, any mutual fund company. Many banks will offer a SEP IRA option to you. And then you basically self-direct those monies generally. There's really, the only cost is the cost of that IRA account generally to you. The most you can put away in a SEP, but that maximum amount this year is $53,000. So let's say you make, again, the maximum amount that you're allowed to contribute based on earnings, and you take, again, 0.2 times that, you're going to get $53,000. So, again, it's a great tool. It's very inexpensive. If I want to do something a little bit more, I could move to a individual 401k plan. This is essentially a 401k plan, but there's only one person in it. Again, the same limits apply. I can get up to $53,000 into that program. The difference is I can also, particularly if I'm over 50, I can get my catch-up of $6,000. So I can get $59,000 put into that. There's a little bit more administrative cost, not significantly a lot more administrative cost in there. And again, typically many brokerage houses, many advisors, many mutual fund companies offer some form of a program that would be eligible for a individual 401k plan. Doesn't cost a lot to administer because the testing doesn't exist because you have no other employees. And really testing, what they call compliance testing plans, which are what really drive up the cost, and there really isn't any in this plan. If you add employees, then the question could be different.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that, Lo. What happens if, let's say, you have two other employees, you have a SEP IRA. Do you have to apply that same percentage to them as well?
Yes. If you have a SEP IRA, you do. You can do some creative plan design, hire a lawyer to do an individually customized document on your SEP, which would allow you to do some waiving of contributions, maybe based on age or eligibility for Social Security or something they call cross-testing, which allows you to group people into different groups and give them different contribution levels. But then that adds complexity and cost to that. The same thing would occur in a 401k plan. If you added employees to it, now I've got testing issues, and now I have matching issues. And I've got, in order for me to maximize my contributions, I'm going to probably have to match. So it's going to drive up my cost to maintain that 401k plan, because now I've got matching. I've also now got other employees I've got to look out for. So it's a little bit more complicated. Now I'm probably going to have a record keeper, do some compliance testing. I've added cost to my whole program. The other option you have, especially for that single employer, and this is really works well for those people who are high-income people, is you can have an individual defined benefit plan. With an individual defined benefit plan, you can start funding later in life to try to catch up to the goal of, right now you're allowed to draw out of a defined benefit plan a maximum dollar amount of $210,000 a year, But you have to have funding levels in your plan in order to make that drawdown. So it would allow you, if you wanted to put one in later, and now you have to hire an actuary or someone to be a close advisor on that plan design, is I could shelter well more than $200,000 a year just to get that funding up so that when I do get to my retirement age, I've got that $210,000 a year back.
So the most that you can fund is, what, a couple hundred thousand. I would suspect, Lowell, that this is probably more efficient and effective if you were maybe a sole proprietor. You know, I keep thinking of an athlete or a movie star. And also the older you are, because I would think the older you are, the less time you have to fund for it, the greater the contribution.
You see this done in, you know, maybe individual law practices, medical practices, athletes. You're right. People who are individually employed by somebody is a kind of a, essentially, they're their own employer and they can fund that. I've seen it used also for people who just, their spouse may have a good job. They've started a small business. They're doing it off this small business they have on the side. And they've, you know, they're using monies that they got in that small business to basically put it all in the pension plan for the idea of having a future benefit.
And explain the difference of a defined contribution plan versus, let's say, a defined contribution or profit sharing plan. Because I know with a defined benefit plan, those contributions, if I'm not mistaken, they're mandatory. So it's not an option where, you know, one year you fund it and the next year you don't.
That is correct. You have certain funding requirements. Individual plans don't have the same level of funding requirements as ones that have employees because you don't have the insurance costs with the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, but you do have to fund that every year. So that defined benefit plan essentially says, look, when you retire, the plan promises to pay you X benefits based on a formula. And that formula is, there's all kinds of different formulas, but it's usually percentage of salary and those type of things. But you do have to, an actuary will determine how much you have to fund in order to pay that future benefit each year. And you really need to make that contribution. In a defined contribution plan, particularly a profit sharing plan, or even a 401k plan, you can decide whether you want to contribute your employer money before the start of each year, either way. And in a profit sharing plan, you just make a decision at the end. In a 401k plan, let's say next year you don't want to match. As long as you remove that before the start of the plan year, you can. So you can control the cash flow that goes into that plan a lot easier in a defined contribution type arrangement, like a 401k or a profit sharing plan, or even a SEP type arrangement.
You know, the thing, though, about this, and these things can get complex. I know with the defined benefit plan, there's actuarial calculations, there's rates of return, there's the age. In terms of simplicity for the average person, let's talk about, you mentioned the SEP IRA is probably the easiest. What about some of the compliance issues? I mean, here we are, we're in September. The fiscal year for taxes ends December 31st. Can you set up a plan, or do you need to have this plan set up before the end of the year, or can you wait to tax time? Like, for example, IRA contributions, you can wait till April 15th.
Right. And I can set up my SEP up until that time, but I have to set up my profit sharing plan this year. So if I did a 401k, I'd have to set it up this year before the end of the year to make it work for you. There's also another type of IRA-related plan called a simple IRA. Simple IRA is like a 401k plan. It has lower contribution limits. It's still relatively inexpensive to administer. As I told you, an individual in a 401k plan can put $18,000 away. In a simple IRA, it's only $12,500. Their catch-up provision is much smaller. In a simple IRA, it's $3,000 as opposed to $6,000. If you were going to do that for this year, you have to set it up by October 1st. You cannot set up a simple IRA after October 1st in any year that you're going to use it. You could set up in October 1st to start for next year, after October 1st to start for next year, but you can't use it for this year. So you're right. There are some timing issues as to when you set up that plan so that you can take advantage of putting money away and obviously taking a tax write-off for that.
And Lowell, how difficult is the paperwork? I know that, for example, setting up something like a defined benefit contribution, and, you know, since there are so many kind of plans out there with all kinds of implications in terms of funding, requirements, compliance, employees, should, let's say, an individual see an advisor? I mean, if you're an employee at a company, they have a 401k plan, you know, you can call your accountant on whether you're eligible for an IRA or a Roth contribution, and hopefully they advise you to take the right one. But when it comes to a business that has to choose, it gets a little bit more complicated, does it not?
It does. You know, I always tell people when they're considering what kind of plan to set up, you want to go to an advisor who really does retirement plan work. There's a lot of advisors who will sell a plan here and there, but they're not really in the business, if you kind of understand what I'm saying. You want somebody who kind of understands the little nuances, would know, yeah, in your situation, maybe a 401k is better than a SEP. Maybe you are in a financial situation to take advantage of a defined benefit plan, and I'll find you an actuary or somebody who can design that plan and do that for you. The advisor really can play a pivotal role in helping these companies navigate the complexity of which plan or not to choose or not to choose. And those that have had more experience, obviously, every time they do this, they gain more and more experience and a lot more value to their clients.
Wouldn't you say, Lo, it would probably make a lot of sense? Here we are, September. We still have, 3.5 months before the year ends, that it may make a lot of sense, especially if you're self-employed, to sit down with the tax advisor or a financial advisor and take a look at the various options and then kind of understand what your choices are.
Oh, absolutely. This is a great time because we are getting towards the next last 3 months of the year, and it helps you make some planning decisions, even on just cash flow with your businesses, what you're going to spend on, how I'm going to save it, how do I want to fund that. And you also want to look at things like, are you always going to be self-employed or are you going to have employees? So it doesn't mean you can't move from one plan to the next. Maybe you start with something simple like a simple IRA and you move to a 401k plan when you have employees, but at least you have some roadmap on which to go. And it also helps you decide it's a good idea to start planning now for what you're going to look like next year, because you might not want to pick a plan that this year and just use it for 1 year when you're going to change next year because you've got different circumstances.
You know, I would think that unless you're in one of those kind of businesses that's very, very predictable, where you know where your income is every single month and every year, where you can better plan. But if you're in a business that is seasonal in some ways, or maybe could be impacted by an economic downturn, you want to design some flexibility into that plan, I would think.
I would think you would also, and most people do. And most of those plan designs that we talked about, the profit sharing, the 401k plans, the simple IRAs, there is some flexibility to lower costs from year to year, whether it be matching contributions, those type of things. The simple IRA, for example, in order to qualify, you have to match. And typically the match is 3% to anybody who's contributed. But in 2 out of every 5 years, you can lower that match to 1%. You just have to decide before the end of the year. That's why you kind of start planning it now. Just like in a 401k plan, this year, maybe you'll make a profit-sharing contribution. You don't have to next year. You have flexibility there. You can change your match from year to year as long as you do it before the start of the next year. Those are things that you can do. And in a SEP, it's completely up to you. You can either put nothing in, 5%, 10%. You can put $100 in it. As long as you're not going above the percentage of income that you're allowed to contribute, you can pretty much do whatever you want to do in that type of arrangement from 1 year to the next.
Lo, as we're summing up here, as I mentioned, we still have 3.5 months to do some planning before the year ends. So let's talk about the things that you have to do now. In other words, the plans that must be set up, like a 401k plan, a defined benefit plan, a profit sharing plan, those things are pretty straightforward. I would think that the individual things like an IRA, a Roth IRA, and let's say contributions to 401k. I mean, if you're at a, let's say an employer that has a 401k plan, you're not using it or you haven't played up on the catch up, you could start doing it now. And then the IRA and the Roth decisions could be made, let's say next year.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's qualified plan stuff. And we call qualified plan things more like the 457, the 403b. They're not quite qualified. The 401k defined benefit plans are what they call qualified because they have certain tax qualification status under a law called ERISA, the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, and the Internal Revenue Code. Those have decisions that have to be made on a yearly basis prior to the end of the year. Anything that's an IRA-funded type program, again, with the exception of that simple IRA, which you can't start after October 1 for the same year, you can make up until the tax filing deadline for your organization. You can make even a contribution decision up to that. Even the profit-sharing plans, you can make your profit-sharing contribution after the end of the year. You just have to make it, again, by your tax filing deadline. It has to be on your forms, but it has to follow whatever formula or whatever provisions are in that plan document that you signed that's in effect for that plan year.
So if we were to sum up some critical steps, what should individuals do now? Summing them up for an individual that, let's say, that works for a company as an employee, and summing up in critical things to do if you're self-employed.
if you're an employee, what I would do now is start gathering your financial information. Look at what you've contributed into your retirement plan at work, if it's contributory. And you can usually look that up, that information up online in your account, information will tell your contributions year to date. If you can afford to maximize those, you can actually change contribution. Most employers allow you to change contribution levels, maybe monthly or different payrolls, up those. If you're interested in contributing more, you can even, you know, defer as much as you possibly can. If you have some savings and you can live on that, you want to defer more, you can do that. But you really got to get a handle on how much have you contributed now. Then look at realistically, how much can I afford more to contribute because I still have to live on these assets. And then look at the timing that I'm going to do. Am I going to take it out of my payroll now? Or am I going to take that amount that I would have taken out of my payroll and just put a lump sum in to an IRA after the end of the year, whether it be a Roth or a traditional? Again, you don't have to make a decision on whether it's a Roth or tradition until after you know exactly what your earnings are at the end of the year, because that does have a factor in it. For a individual company, I think what you're looking at is, what am I going to do this year? What is my cash flow? What does my last 3 months look like? How much cash am I going to have on hand that I can make a contribution to the plan? So that's all really you're going to have to do. And then decide, if you don't already have a plan, which one might meet that cash flow need, or maybe it's simplicity need. I just want it simple. You got to decide what's important to you. Do you have any experience in this area? Those types of things. And then just work with your accountant to decide. And I think usually your accountant or your financial advisor, again, who's doing a lot of retirement work, who can help you work through those options. If I'm a company that has some employees, again, now I'm going to have to make some decisions on what my match is going to be. I'm going to change my vesting schedule. Is there any plan changes I want to make before the end of the year? It won't help me so much for this year, but it's going to help me for next year.
Well, listen, Lowell, as we close, if our listeners would like to find out more about IRA Logix, how could they do so?
Just go to www.iralogix.com and you'll learn more about us.
Well, listen, Lowell, as always, thanks for coming back on the program. All the best to you, sir.
You're welcome, and thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, that concludes my interview with Lowell Smith. And once again, folks, the end of the year comes upon us very quickly. Remember, we've got the elections coming up. You've got holidays coming up. And we tend to lose our thoughts, especially as you get towards the end of the year with the holidays. But if you are self-employed, it's really critical if you're looking for some tax help, and especially if you live in a high-tax state like California. By the way, there's a bill in the legislature, which we talked on Monday, requiring any business in California with 5 employees or more to contribute to a pension plan. So you might want to get ahead of this and do it in advance, especially if you're self-employed, so you can look at the various options that would really fit you personally, especially your business. But now's the time to start thinking about it. Don't wait till the month of December. Actuaries, people, advisors get very busy with end-of-the-year distributions for IRAs in the holidays themselves, so it's hard to get things done. Now's the time to plan. In the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. We hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSM. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.